to say, dear brethren, it is indeed my great privilege to welcome each and every one of you to our quiet place here at Anglesey for spiritual refreshment at this 2016 convention. I will be on the overheads presenting a few slides of the scriptures. Some I'll read, the underlined ones I'll be only citing. Some of you have come from quite afar. Even we have our brethren from Seattle in USA, Brother Byron, Sister Margie. So it's lovely to have you come from so far away and join us at this convention. And it's to join, we've all come to brethren, this place of rest and refreshment provided by our dear Heavenly Father and our returned Lord. We welcome also those online that are tuned on as well. So we are gathered here in accordance with a familiar scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. Used this before in an opening, but I'll go on a different track this time, which reads, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near." It makes that responsibility and privilege, I suppose, more explicit. We are to think on how to encourage and how to help one another along our Christian walk. As we can see that final day approaching, as the scripture gives, we come to inspire one another, to love and to good works. The work Lord began might be complete, so our Christian character is more fully developed. And one day we can hear those well-known and famous words of our Lord Jesus, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, I'll make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord," in Matthew 25:21. Yes, I suppose some of you have come from quite a distance away to come here to rest a while. Similar to our words of our Lord that were recorded in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Our Lord Jesus called his disciples and said, concludingly in that verse, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Our Lord suggested to his disciples to go away to a quiet place and to rest for a while. And so over these roughly four segments of days, we'll be separate from the world and its cares by gathering to the Heavenly Father's presence for him to stimulate our hearts here, to stimulate our minds to understand, to appreciate him, the truth, and his will for us, and to be energized for the year ahead. 1 Timothy 2 and 4 says, "Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." So every session of this convention is designed by our Heavenly Father to bring us to a more accurate and complete understanding of truth and the change that truth will make in our lives. When we look at the program, there are many talks on our 4 days here. There are two Bible studies, in fact. Also, we have a discussion on Israel spread over two evenings. I encourage you all that during the meals and after each day of fellowship and spiritual discussion with the brethren, that you'll be to encourage and to educate and build each other up in the most holy faith. It's indeed a real privilege and blessing to be here, for we just do not know how long we'll have this opportunity. Some, unfortunately, have not come due to old age, or others ill health or responsibilities, and these cannot join us this year. However, the Lord determined that we should be here. Our attendance has been made possible by him. In the past year, many brethren have had many different trials and experiences through the Christian walks. Many have lost loved ones who have entered their earthly walks. Others have had severe trials, sicknesses, sufferings, and we all face the three common enemies of the world, the flesh and the adversary. We have come away from the world to be in the Lord's presence, to share our joys and sorrows and our experience. And so the Lord has called us to this quiet place, away from the world to be with him and get that much needed spiritual rest and encouragement and boost for another year. Our Lord's words in John chapter 10 verses 7-9-10. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have a life and have it abundantly." Our Lord will provide pastures rich in spiritual food that may have life more abundantly. In Revelations 21 and 6, the concluding words, I'll give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. We have come here to drink of that fountain of the water of life, to our Lord Jesus, that our spiritual thirst may be quenched. Perhaps we have become a little bit bruised on our Christian walk over the past year, and some of our wounds need to be attended to. And really, this is a good place to come to the Lord, the Good Shepherd, as he is here. So through the discourses, the fellowship of this convention, our Lord will tend the wounds and apply the eye salve to see him more clearly. The Lord called us to give us rest from the spirit of the world, the worries and the sin and the fallen flesh. Matthew 11:28 reads, Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give us rest from sorrows, worries and fears and the bondage of the flesh. Isaiah 14:3, The Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved. Coming back to Hebrews 12:22-24, But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborns who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Dear brethren, our goal is Mount Zion, the spiritual phase of God's kingdom, the new Jerusalem, to be part of the church as a bride adorned for her husband, as Revelations 21:2 says in the concluding words. The Lord called us to remind us of our goal and to our covenant of sacrifice to reach that goal. Our goal is to be united with our Lord in the presence of the Heavenly Father for the purpose of blessing all the families of the earth. What a glorious mission that will be. Would you not like to be involved in blessing all the families of the world? By faith we can see Mount Zion in a distance. Its glorious light shows us the way to its gates. Its beauty beckons us. The promises inspires us to come ever closer. However, we face our daily struggles of our fallen flesh, and it's because of the spirit of the world and attacks of the adversary we can lose sight of the inspiration. We can lose sight of the big picture. So the Lord has designed lessons at this convention to refocus, to refresh our hearts and minds of our goal to that Mount Zion. And Mount Zion and the Bride of Christ are such an inspiration as they'll bring in God's plan of salvation, the glory that is set before us. Reminds us, begotten by unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away and is reserved for you in heaven, in 1 Peter 1:4. The lessons remind us of our goal and will exhort us to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's show our gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable sacrifice with reverence and awe, as Hebrews 12:28 gives. The Lord called us to this quiet place that we might be filled with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is our lifeblood. The Lord has filled us with the Holy Spirit. He was filled without measure in John 3:34 and Ephesians 5:18. The lessons at this convention, as I mentioned, have been designed by our Heavenly Father to fill our hearts more and more with the Holy Spirit, in shaping us more into that image of Christ. In 1 John 5:6, it is a Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to His truth, and this will regarding His will for us to be the sons of God. Since you have been purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Lord will provide His Spirit too, because the more we are obedient to His truth, the more loving we will be to our brethren. God's Spirit motivates us to be obedient and to love. The more we are filled with His Holy Spirit, the more obedient we will become, and the more loving we shall become also. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, because God has chosen you from the beginning to salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Holy Spirit we receive here will stimulate. It will sanctify our lives and make us holy and separate from the world, acceptable to God and His service, and as we had in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. The Holy Spirit God pours will make us holy by developed fruits of Spirit within us. The joys of the Spirit should spring as we are more fully developed because we attended this convention and applied the lessons that we gained from it in our lives. We are to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit and the inner man in Ephesians 3:16. And we are to be built together accordingly as Ephesians 2:22 gives out. We come to have faith in His promises and get strength in 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This week God will remind us that we are inscribed in the palms of His hands in Isaiah 49:16. Just as a mother cannot forget the child she bore, God will not forget us. No matter how difficult the circumstances, no matter how bleak, God will never desert you nor forsake you, as Hebrews 13:5 in NIV brings out. In Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards His name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. We are kept in the power through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time in 1 Peter 1:5. We came here to have our zeal kindled brighter. The zeal for the Lord's house consumed me, the Lord Jesus said in Psalm 69:9. Our Lord's zeal was to delight to do His Heavenly Father's will in Psalm 40:8. In order to be accepted as sons of God, our zeal must be like the Lord's, and we are to be clothed with that zeal in Isaiah 59:17. He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on His head, and He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped Himself with zeal as a mantle. God will inspire our desire and zeal to think upon them and make them our own. The love for doing God's will is singleness of purpose and a total consecration of our lives. And God desires we are here to stimulate that zeal, to serve Him in the year ahead. 2 Timothy 2:3 brings a well-known verse, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Today on the media, when you turn on and read any paper or TV, the world is continually full of wars. We, dear brethren, are at war too, because we are spiritual soldiers. And Apostle Paul exhorts us to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy 2:3. Our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh in 2 Corinthians 10:4. Good warfare against the spirit of the world is a battle against weakness due to the fall of the flesh, of one's pride, error and deceptions of the adversary. We fight this warfare equipped with Ephesians 6, God's whole armour, the girdle, a belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness and sandals of the gospel of peace, the great shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword, the word of a God, and a privilege of course, always being able to go to headquarters with Him in prayer. In accordance with Ephesians 6:13, we put on the full armour of God to be complete and to stand, to fight to the end in our grand battle, and having fought to the end, to be victorious in the field. God brought us here to teach us how to better use this armour and to be better soldiers of Christ. To be victorious, we need to be obedient to our captain of salvation. We need more courage to face foes, and we need additional training in God's training ground, especially also in the lessons that will be given over the next 3 days. The preparation of our spiritual warfare is very important. We never know what we'll face this year. Perhaps an illness or someone we love falls ill, else persecution or family problems, loss of job or trials of discouragement at work. Problems within an ecclesia may cause some discomfort and discouragement. We may face temptation of pride from spiritual success in our lives or even in our temporal successes. Let's take advantage to improve our skill in using this Christian armour to fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, showing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We come here to listen, to meditate, and to pray. We come here to sing and praises to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, to encourage, to exhort one another, to grow, to help one another spiritually. We come here because the Lord is here. Convention, though, is not an occasion where only the speakers at the front serve. Here there are opportunities for everyone to be active and blessing and building each other up. Take advantage of this opportunity to work at this convention, to sing praises of reverence and love to God and Lord Jesus. Comfort one another through your tests and your fellowship. Meet new brethren. Spend time to know them better. Set this maybe as a goal. Someone you may not know very well. Do not become homing pigeons only. Take advantage for spiritual discussion with the brethren. Seek not only the temporal conversation, but about the spiritual plan of God. How to build one another up to be more faithful to the very end. We all have talents in our hands. Observe how we use even the one talent. Make sure we do not end up just bearing it. Build a pattern, build a habit this year and the year ahead. God called us to this convention to enlarge our hearts and the knowledge of His Son, His truth and His family, which are His brethren, and some of them are here. God opened wide His heart to all. He's given us His Son in sacrifice for us. He has given us His Holy Spirit as to be part of the divine family. He's granted us citizenship in heaven. All these things pertain to life and godliness. How much is the question we will give? The Heavenly Father has given us a family, our brethren, as aides and role models to follow. In 1 John 4 and 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent us His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. God has done all this to open our hearts to Him. God has brought us here to enlarge our hearts towards Him in Romans 5 and 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God shed abroad by the Holy Spirit has been given to us. So over these 4 days, God will pour out His love on us through His Spirit, and may this love of God find an ever large place in our hearts and in our minds. Here we are taught to be of God, and above all to love one another. May we learn this lesson well of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9. Now as the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. May we love the brethren more than we did when we first arrived here. May we direct our hearts into the love of God and Christ, and all God is doing here is to direct our hearts to a greater love for Him, to build a greater patience, and to cheerfully do His will and fulfill His plan and of salvation. May the result of the love of God fill our hearts to the greatest extent possible and reveal itself in our fruit outwardly, in greater obedience to Him and a greater sacrifice one for another. May we realize and take in all the blessed benefits mentioned and take them in for the next 3 days, and may we make it a milestone in our Christian walk and path in making a call and action sure. May God bless you all at this convention, in this quiet retreat at Anglesey. Amen.